The Optimist. Conversations with leaders and industries shaping Europe's future. Exploring the ideas and innovations driving progress across the continent.
Welcome to The Optimist, the Real Talk podcast with leaders who are shaping Europe's digital future. My name is Moritz Schönleber, I'm the Tech Community Lead. We talk about AI a lot, also in this podcast, but maybe not so much about the hardest part. Because while the technology is moving fast, most organizations are still stuck in the gap between pilots and real impact. So today our moderator, Dale Rickert, is joined by Matthias Emler. He's partner at Horvath. Together they talk about three themes. Why most AI initiatives fail to scale, what it takes to move from pilots to real systems, and finally, how governance, data, and organizational alignment determine success. So have fun and see you later.
Matthias Emler, partner at Horvath. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Dave, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I guess before we dive in, I'd like to ask, how's it working for you in the consulting business in this era? I mean, AI is everywhere. People are building agents. Do you even get the opportunity to interact with humans on a day-to-day basis in your work?
Well, actually, even more than former times. So if I look at my time schedule and my traveling calendar, I'm nearly in every day in a new town here, yeah? Because so many of our customers are wondering what direction to take with regards to AI. And since these discussions are so intense, they would like to have them in person, right? And this is why I'm currently traveling even more than in the past. And I enjoy it, right? Because it's just great to be at so many major companies and seeing how they evolve and develop in these dynamic times.
And, you know, it's funny hearing what you just said. I almost wonder, is AI causing more questions than answering questions? Is that a problem?
At the moment, I would say it's maybe balanced, yeah. So in some areas, it's definitely causing more questions. In other areas, it's definitely helping to answer questions very, very fast.
And I guess we can, you know, before diving into the specifics of what you're doing in the workplaces, I always like, you know, I've got people like you coming in a weekly basis to my Optimist podcast. And I really feel like, you know, I'm working with elite athletes, you know, elite performers in their own field. They're doing it, that, you know, that you're playing at the edge of your game in business in terms of AI. And I like to often go back and start at the beginning and find out from you, when did your fascination with technology start? Do you remember the time, that first time when you said, wow, I want to work with technology?
Well, for me personally, that was at a time where AI was not at the scene yet. Yeah, I started as a consultant 20 years ago, actually in the CFO advisory, which is already very related to data. And I found more passion in data and in digital. Yeah, and I combined these two topics. And then maybe 10 years ago, AI became much more prominent. We as Horvath ramped up our first AI team. And this is where I really saw, okay, this is where something exciting is happening. Yeah. And since that time, together with my team, I'm working together with our customers, yeah, in gaining value from data, from AI, in finance and beyond, right, in operations, commercials, procurement. And this is, yeah, up to now, really the field where I say where all my passion is and the excitement is for me, right?
You know, you talked about the early years and, you know, growing up in that world as a consultant around big data, you know, particularly as you said, in the finance world, this was already underway from 2010 onwards in a major way. And you had that, you know, around 2014, 15, the growth of the IoT movement and connected systems and then the industrial IoT. And these are all layers on that journey to getting to a point where you can use systems and, let's say, AI, whether it was machine learning in those early years through to now where people are building agents to help us make better decisions. In this journey, do you think, why is the AI wave that we're seeing now, why is it different to what we had with big data and IoT and IIoT and all those other build-ups to this point we're at?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the most likely answer is because it's not rule-based anymore. Seeing how the AI acts with data and gives answers, it's just like you feel a bit like you're working together with a human, right? And this has not been the case, even if we had big data and mass data, structured, unstructured, in big data lakes. if you were just working with descriptive statistics and or machine learning even. Yeah, and this is for sure also why this excitement was so big when this started. It was, I've never seen technological development around data since the internet that causes so much enthusiasm at customers and consumers seeing how these chatbots and now the agents act on behalf of us. Yeah. And that is, to me, the main difference, right?
Can I ask you personally, you know, you're working in the scene of agentic, of AI in commerce, in business. What tools do you use on a daily basis? Mm. What are you building for yourself? What do you use in your teams?
I mean, there are many areas, also when you look especially at our whole company. For me personally, there's a very down-to-earth use case that is most important for me. It's challenging by AI. I think there are two ways to do it. You can have a white blank sheet and ask AI, give me a draft. This I do not too often. So I still like to start on my own, but then get challenged by the AI. And this helps me too, that there are still my personal ideas. My experience is fully in, but it's kind of enhanced by the AI. If I look at our teams and also the more younger consultants and also the data scientists we have, I think there it's even more like PowerPoints are prepared, market research is done, minutes are written by AI, and this is for sure where consulting changed tremendously. And also when our data scientists develop solutions for our customers, they use AI, and this has caused a tremendous productivity gain there. Yeah. So there it is even more obvious.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You know, so I want to go back to something you were talking about before, the evolution of AI coming from machine learning. And, you know, I've had so many diverse conversations, and I feel like I can't get a clear answer from anyone about what the rules are with AI. What do you need in place? What are the kind of the starting blocks? Because I'll give you an example. I speak to a lot of people who come from Mittelstand, from, you know, family-owned business, and they'll tell you, they don't know where to go with digitization. They haven't even finished digitizing their processes and connecting their systems. They don't know how to start with AI on top. That's one problem group. And then I had a fascinating conversation. I was in Sweden a couple of months ago, and I spoke to the CTO of Nordea. And he told me, if you haven't done your homework, if you don't have your good data governance, if you don't have your data structures and your rules in place, if you don't have that from the place, from the beginning, then you won't be able to work effectively with AI. And then if I speak to certain founders, I spoke to a C-level from Lovable while I was in Sweden, and they said, that's bullshit. You can just build and connect services over the top of it. You don't need the structures in place. So I feel like there's so much chaos, and there's no one who can really say what the rules are. How do you start? Are there rules? Does it depend on the case? What's your take on all this?
I think all of what you just said is to a certain extent for sure true. And it's the right combination of what you said. So for sure you need a framework. I always recommend my customers start with a lean strategy, but you need to have a clear direction. Where are the potentials related to your business model, to your specific processes, to the way you manage your business? And then digest what are the right technologies, what data do you need, what are the right models also for you? How could you further develop, or do you have to further develop your organization to gain all that value? What governance structures do you need, not just for AI, also for data, for the processes, for the IT systems that are underneath? And last but not least, empowering your people and prepare for a change process and change management that addresses the specifics of AI. As I just said, AI causes enthusiasm, but it also causes a lot of concerns. This needs to be addressed to get the whole AI movement going in your organization. And then you need on top a good AI value management. In the end, it's not about AI as itself for AI's sake. It's having AI to create value. Well, and these are the ingredients for kind of having a proper setup. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, you say it's just switching on some services and it's going. I think there's also a lot of truth to that. I have this simple rule. When companies ask me how to start, I said, start with a chatbot and then go to agents, go to automation. And these are three steps. You start with chatting, use a standard tool, no matter from where, if it's Google or Microsoft or Anthropic or so. Yeah. Then the next step is combine it with your local, with your data you have in your company, with your own IP. this is where you make a difference to all the other companies, combining the large language models with your own data. And then you have the basis to go into agents and go for much more higher levels of automation and automate even full process chains. And that is actually quite simple. Yeah, start with chatting, go to automation, go to agents. And therefore, it's a bit of both. That you can act based on such simple guiding principles, you first need to establish a holistic framework and then you're good to go.
I really like that analogy around really, you know, beginning with what's simple and allows you to be general. That's, you know, obviously a chatbot of some sort. And I think if you look at what I hear when I speak to, you know, I'm engaging with all of the speakers for our program for tech coming up in just 2 months' time, so many people tell me that they have probably, let's say, 40% of the projects that they know about in the company, you know, that are on the record, someone's kind of got oversight of, and not many of them are actually paying back in terms of you know, EBIT, let's put it that way. And I think, you know, there's been lots of research on this, with this number between 85 and 95% of pilots don't pay back in the long term. So I like that idea of starting simple. With this aspect, what's the approach to pilots? Because this is the danger I hear from a lot of people, that people are just using AI in use cases and in ways that maybe not be kind of safe for the organization, or at least are on the radar. How do we deal with that, particularly in regulated industries?
That's absolutely a very crucial topic. And to me, the first step is maybe also just accepting that AI is a lot about smaller cases that in combination and as a whole create a full benefit. It's not like with classic IT, where you have, as a DAX 40, maybe 40 major initiatives. They are all big. They all have a clear business case from the very beginning. They have a clear program management. They run for 3 years and then they're done. Yeah. With AI, I just talked to a CIO and she said she has over 300, nearly 400 AI initiatives running that are already visible, that are also visible at the very top of the company. Yeah. All quite small. And this is a very challenging aspect about AI. And first step to gain value from here is to accept that you need to manage this, what I like to call a seek and find picture, right? Having all these several cases out there where improvement is done. What is crucial, you still need to have direction. It's not like giving just some tools to the organization and then everybody creates its their agents on their own behalf. You still need to have direction. You still need to digest what are the major strategic use cases or process change that need to be optimized. And this direction should come top down. Yeah, this is not something that just happens bottom up. And then you need to be clear about the value drivers behind those cases, and not just monitor, I have invested this amount of money and I expect this return. You need to be clear what will drive the value. Saved working hours, reduced throughput time, or by new business models, customer satisfaction. If your AI cases are about better business management, it might be a bit more complicated to find the right drivers. Maybe there's just some anecdotal evidence. But even if you have just anecdotal evidence, it's still evidence, right? And you should use it to digest where do we really create impact.
And look, another thing I'd like to talk to you about, because you mentioned, you know, I like the way you talk about how you begin the strategy. Do you have a concrete example? I mean, you don't have to mention an individual company, but a company where you came in and there was lack of clarity, people weren't sure, there was a cultural challenge in terms of adoption and fear of AI, and how you unpack that in terms of an ongoing journey of transformation with a company.
Well, maybe one example, we've just been working with one company out of the building industry, where it was really the task to come up with a overall AI strategy for all these different processes that are related to a large company out of that industry. And they were very much wondering, how can we bring all to the table and have all their thoughts and ideas, and at the same time not spend hours or not spend years on talking to people? And we found a very smart and also motivating facilitation mode to do workshops and come up with clear ideas, but at the same time still having time to listen to them and hear their experiences. Yeah. And that was, for me, also seeing, coming from this huge company, all these construction site managers and so, and at the same time, white-collar workers coming together, digesting on an AI strategy, and it worked. And it was really like they were all taking their thoughts, bringing in their ideas, and we were actually done after some weeks only. Yeah? That was for me an example how you can address this seek and find picture in a quite straightforward manner.
Yeah, I like it too because, I mean, it really takes on obviously the people who have to deal with it on a daily basis and often have the outcome of those AI-driven processes as well as the top management who wants to push it forward in terms of integration. Look, another classic you see in new AI projects, you've got a company, a new CTO, let's say, a new CTO comes in, she's brilliant, she's driven, and she has an AI pilot project. It isn't as successful as everyone had hoped. Or maybe there wasn't the buy-in from the management or there wasn't the buy-in from the workers. And this causes this failure. How do you do the next step? How do you make sure you iterate to the next AI pilot and it doesn't just get killed in terms of having a setting a culture of negativity in the company?
Yeah, I mean, first you need to have clear transparency why it has not yet been adopted and not yet paid out in terms of the benefit. And if it's because the algorithms are just not capable in doing this task, then you maybe should stop that use case. If it's because the data is not yet at a quality or at an availability that is needed to be successful, then you need to digest that. So we need some measures to improve the data. And then there's this change aspect, which I think in most cases is the strongest challenge. And here it's really finding out why people, for whatever reason, do not adopt to that use case. And having the right tone from the top and listening to the people, finding ways together as a team to make this use case still being used in the processes by addressing what are the reasons why it's not yet adopted. And this is my experience, the most trickiest part.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing because, you know, I've talked quite openly on the podcast in the past about some of the real fears that are around AI because, you know, 10 years ago, you know, an automated process in a factory can replace someone who's put screws in, you know, whereas now an automated process can replace you and me. So it's a real, you know, it's a real fear. How do we balance this around the need for humans, because we need a certain amount of wisdom and knowledge in our organizations to be able to do business. We need to be able to look at each other and sit down and have a coffee. I mean, these are things that AI, as you mentioned, you're constantly on the road because you need to be with humans. But at the same time, many of the processes, AI knows more than me, you know, knows more than both of us.
To me, best ways to talk about it openly and best in person, as you just mentioned, this is also maybe a reason why I travel that much. In many areas, the concerns can be addressed in a way that it's fine for everybody. Yeah. For sure, you reach higher automation levels with AI and you reach higher automation levels in areas where 5 years ago, no one would have expected that we would talk about automation here. Yeah. When you now talk to middle management and say, well, some of your tasks could be automated soon. Yeah. This, they have never been expecting that, right? In many cases, it is still clear that there are other tasks to do, enriched tasks to do, so there can also be kind of positive perspective about that. Yeah.
For you, I mean, you're at the, as I said, at the bleeding edge of implementation of AI in business right now. Where do you see it heading in the next 5 to 10 years?
First, I would say it's going to further develop in the same pace as we see it throughout the last 3 years, which is already really a challenge on its own. I'm sure that this agentic AI will really allow for automation levels in areas where we have not expected them. I've been talking to a customer in the order to cash process, a customer from industry having diverse different customer types, and they never managed to bring a high automation level in there with a standardized process within one system. And they already gave up some years ago, right? And now they say, well, with agentic AI, we can have that diverse different processes in a order to cash process and still automate it. Yeah. And I think these are areas where we will see a lot of change, where also the classic ERP approaches will change. And we will see combinations of classic ERP approaches with agentic AI. AI will become kind of commodity and it will be just as normal as surfing on the internet. And also that more and more people learn really to use this agentic AI in their daily work. And there's one thing we already talked about, which is for me like make it or break it part of it all, where I'm not yet fully sure how it will end up. Mm-hmm. But we need to find good solutions for data, not just for data availability and data quality, also for the whole data privacy topics. And these are aspects that to me are not yet fully solved. There are good solutions out there. For sure, companies use AI. There must be solutions out there, for sure. But here I see also still a challenge where I'm not yet fully sure how all of it will be solved throughout the next 5 years.
And for you and your work, Matthias, will we see an automated Matthias Emler in the next 5 to 10 years and you can sit on your balcony and drink a beer, or is it far off into the future?
Looking at my reality currently, and I mean, AI is out now for already a couple of years, I don't expect this, right? For sure, the way our customers act change, and for sure, we as consultants are, as Hovert, are fully prepared to support them in this agile transformation with AI. Yeah, so also the way we work changed substantially. Many parts of our work is knowledge work, and this for sure is already today very much automated. But going into transformation, I mean, we're still all humans, right? This is still the moment where customers, consultants come together and drive that change. Here, I'm pretty sure that this won't be done by an avatar. Yeah? And this is also looking into my team, into all the Hovert colleagues here, where we are so much excited about to support the different industries out there, the different major players out there to develop into that. And I think that is going to, what the future for the next year also going to be about for us.
Perfect. Well, look, it's been such a pleasure having you here today. That was Matthias Emler, partner at Horvath. And you can actually catch him at Tech from the 31st of May till the 2nd of June in Heilbronn. And actually our Tech website, the program has just gone on. So you can see all of the program sessions on our website, tech-europe.org. Go and check it out. And I look forward to seeing you all at Tech end of May, beginning of June. Thanks very much for being with us, Matthias.
Thanks for having me, Dave. See you soon.
That was Dale talking to Matthias Emler. As always, we'd like to close this podcast with our Tech Lounge segment, where we bring in voices and questions from the community. Questions we've gathered ourselves, from our audience, and sometimes even from within the tech team. So nice to see you, Dale, again. Thank you so much for your time.
Nice to see you too, Moritz.
So let me ask you, talking about AI and the pilots and the scalability of all of this, how do we make sure at Tech in Heilbronn that we're not only showing demos on stage, but also we bring scalable content to our viewers and to the audience?
Yeah, I think this is an important question. And for us, this really goes down to the key of our DNA at Tech. And we want to make sure that we don't just talk about perspectives from industry itself, perspectives just from research, but to actually combine that together. So as part of the Tech programming, we have leading researchers from, you know, professors like Professor Neil Lawrence from Oxford University, world-renowned AI researcher, you know, professors from HEC Paris, professors from Israel University, professors from diverse areas where they can bring in their theoretical knowledge around AI and make sure that the approaches we're having actually make sense in terms of the long-term development. The second part is having industry involved. So, of course, we focus very heavily on people who have practical experience. We're putting those people on stage, you know, CDOs, CIOs, CTOs from major companies who can give us their insights into what it means for their daily business. And finally, of course, as we had from this podcast just now, insights from consultants who are dealing with this every day, and they can give us the best practice examples of how we approach this in our businesses.
All right, thank you. So AI is a big topic. I mean, there's also another big one, and people who already saw the agenda online see that we have a House of Defense this year. I mean, geopolitics is big in the news. It's also big, I mean, in all the business aspects. So what exactly is the House of Defense serving at our tech convention? What is the aim of this?
Yeah, I think it's great you ask, because, you know, our intention isn't just to put on yet another defense event, because, you know, we've got, of course, defense is an issue of growing importance in our economies, and the defense event sector is growing fast as well. But what we wanted to create for Tech, we know we've already got, you know, leaders from, you know, Mittelstand, family-owned business, SMEs, who come to Tech to get informed. And many of these people right now you know, I'm often at meetings where I meet owners, you know, founders of these businesses who are saying to me, I'm actually looking laterally right now. The economy, you know, if we look at the auto sector, it's not really booming. We're seeing a real crisis for the auto sector at the moment. And they're looking for ways they can diversify. And an obvious candidate right now is defense. And so we're not talking about, of course, putting, you know, leaders from the Bundeswehr on stage so that contractors from the, you know, the big defense prime companies can sell products and services to them. We're talking about putting a mixture of defense people, defense companies, and then looking at how those smaller family-owned businesses, they can actually get involved and enter the defense economy. How do you get onto the, you know, the procurement list of these companies? How do you make sure that your business is ready? How do you actually transform your current operations to something which can actually feed into the defense economy itself?
Yeah. So we are honoring this approach of the economy. They want to diversify them. And also we have a diverse, interesting program we can offer to everybody who comes to Heilbronn. We're looking forward to this. And yeah, I see you there. And thank you so much for your time today, Dale.
Thanks so much, Moritz.
That's it for today. Thank you very much for joining us on The Optimist. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love your feedback on Spotify or on whichever platform you're listening from. You can also reach us anytime at hello@tech-europe.org. So see you next time and stay optimistic.
Thanks for listening to The Optimist. For more insights and updates about tech, visit us at tech-europe.org. The Optimist is produced by Tech by Handelsblatt. Music by Christian Heinemann. Stay curious.